I'm going to do, you might be wondering, like, what is this? Oh, I know, it's not lollies. No one's getting any lollies. In fact, the rest of the band, like, thank you very much, you can go. Except for the drummer. We'll keep the drummer. Give these guys a hand. Amazing worship tonight. Bringing the presence of God. These are actually my noise-cancelling headphones. Yeah, they are. Like, I love them. I really do. When I'm on a plane, that's if the person next to me decides they don't want to talk to me because they stick their headphones, and I'm thinking, oh, okay, all right, we're not talking then, okay? But it's great. I love it because there's so much chaos going on in a plane. You know, even at the beginning, I put them on right from the get-go. People are getting their bags and they're shoving people out the way to get their bag in the top. All this stuff is happening. People are talking. They're going past, hitting each other as they sit down. And I just stick them on straight away because I think it just blocks it all out. And then when the plane takes off, it's just that engine without them is like so noisy. I'm like, whoa, nah. But what I love, it's just like, shh. And all you hear is what you want to hear. If I'm watching a movie, I just hear the movie. If I'm listening to music, I just hear the music. That's what I love about noise cancelling. You know, our culture that we live in, it is noisy. When I say noisy, there's lots of noise and distraction. All the scrolling, comparison going on, lots of distraction. Like voices. Yeah, not in my head. Yeah, they are actually in my head. I'll talk a little bit about them later. but at the moment, you know, if we're not intentional, we amplify the wrong voices. Voices of fear. Voices of shame. Voices of doubt. Voices of confusion, they can come at us. But when you can have like spiritual noise cancelling headphones, and that's what I love. So I'm going to do a little demo here. What I love about these, when I put them on, geez, I wonder if I can still hear, probably won't. But anyway, like I push the little button and it goes off, and then I push another little button and it goes ambient, and then I push another little button and then it goes noise cancelling. That's my favorite noise, because then it just all sucks in. Well, I don't know what happens, but it feels like things are sucking in, and all I can hear then is just what I want to listen to. Anyway, so what we're going to do a little demo for you. Like, we've got the amazing Emerson on the drums right here. Now, before I put them on, I want Emerson. He's going to make some noise, not for too long, because I know some of you are like, yep, like that. Go for it, Emerson. Whoa. Boy, that is going to be short if it's like that. But do you see, a noise like that, when you're trying to believe in something, for a miracle, for example, oh, I'm not even thinking about the miracle. When I'm trying to pray and that's going on, I just can't concentrate. If I'm trying to make a wise decision and that's going on, I just can't do it. That's why, now, let's just see if this is going to work. I hope so. Yeah.
Ambient sound.
Yeah. Off, hang on. Noise cancelling. Stop. I was thinking, it's not as bad this time, but because it wasn't actually annoying me anymore. You, sorry about that. But what I'm trying to say is we need to just block out and cancel sounds that we don't want. Thank you very much, Emerson. Give him a hand as he goes. See, sometimes we can actually feel defeated, not by what's happening around you, but by what you're listening to. Like I said before, the voice of fear, the voice of shame, the voice of comparison. But today, it's time to cancel those noises and amplify the voice of God. So the title of my message tonight is Amplify God's Voice. Cancel the noise. So you might be here today and you've never been to church before, or you've not invited God into your heart, or maybe you were one time in church, but you walked away, and at the moment, you don't have a relationship with God. A little bit later, I'm going to give you an opportunity to invite God into your heart. He loves you. I just love how Isaac shared communion tonight. It's so true. Doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter where you've been. God accepts you and he loves you right where you are. And he wants to know you. So I'll give you that opportunity a little later. So we are going to start. I'm going to read quite a bit of this one chapter. And I'd encourage you to read this later on throughout the week. It's in 1 Samuel 17. And it's about David and Goliath. Who's heard of David and Goliath before? A lot of people. Even if you hadn't, though, it is a great story. I love this. I love this. The chapter opens in 1 Samuel 17. The chapter opens with the Philistines and the Israelites. So the Philistines are here on a hill. Israelites are there on a hill. Two hills, and in the middle is a valley. So they're on opposite hills. And every day for 40 days, there's a giant. His name's Goliath. He steps forward from the Philistines' army, and he shouts threatening things across the valley. He's like this big guy. It talks about a lot about Goliath. I mean, he is like 9 foot tall. That's so tall. He is a unit. He is massive. He's probably ugly as well. Like, I don't know. It doesn't say that in the Bible, but he's intimidating both in size and sound. He wore a massive armor. He's got this massive bronze armor. He carries a huge spear, like a weaver's beam or something, but it's a huge spear. That's what it's called. And he had a shield bearer walk in front of him. So he is massive. But the real weapon that Goliath used wasn't any of that. It was his voice. I'm just going to read a bit here. In verse 8 to 10, it says, Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? I am not a Philistine. Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul?" Saul was the king of Israel at the time. "Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Get me a man and let us fight each other." Now he's yelling this. He's like, "This day I defy the armies." Like, that's what I mean. I don't want to just yell like that, but this is what I mean. This is what he's doing for 40 days and 40 nights. He's coming out. "I defy you. Send a man to fight me. I'm going to," like, serious, taunting. He's yelling. He's intimidating. Now, he didn't even swing his sword or anything like that. He just shouted every morning and every night for 40 days. His voice thundered across that valley, across the battlefield. It was a psychological battle, a war of words. See, the voice of Goliath represents fear, intimidation, and that constant voice of, "You're not enough, you Israelites. You're hopeless little whippersnappers. Like, you couldn't do anything to me at all. Wusses." That's what he's saying. He is doing that. Now, if we go to verse 11, on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul, King Saul, and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now, Saul is with an army, and it doesn't say how many people are in that army, but most of the time when Saul went out in an army, it was like 30 to 50,000 people in that army. Goliath is shouting. That's it. From afar, from another hill, the whole of the army cower. They're already defeated. They are retreating, all from just because they've heard Goliath. And the reason is, you know, they started to hear him so often over those 40 days that they started to believe it. You know what? And this is what happens in our lives. Every battle you face, before it shows up in your finances, before it shows up in your relationships, before it shows up in your body, it first shows up in your thoughts. You start hearing, "This won't work. I'm not enough. God's not coming through. Look at what they have. Look at what I don't. Those things. And if we don't cancel that noise, it starts to sound like the truth. It does. So now David comes. He doesn't run like that. No. He doesn't dance. Hey, but David actually does dance in the Bible. Anyway, I don't know whether he did the salsa. I actually did a little bit of that during the week. Anyway, 1, 2, 3. Anyway, here we go. But David arrives. David arrives on the battlefield, not as a soldier, but as a shepherd. David has been looking after the sheep, playing his guitar, jinga jacka, jinga jacka, jinga, singing psalms to the Lord. That's what he's been doing. So he's a shepherd boy. And he was sent by his father. His father says, hey, your brothers, they're out there having a battle. That's not in the Bible, but this actually does happen. And so his father gets him to take cheese and bread to his brothers. David wasn't even invited to the fight. He wasn't part of the army. But he got to just take his brother's lunch. So that's what he's doing. He's just showing up for lunch. And he gets there and he sees the army and he thinks, what is going on? Now, he doesn't know what has happened in the last 40 days, that Goliath has been there yelling across the battlefield. But he hears Goliath come out when he gets there. And Goliath starts to taunt and do his thing again about, you're hopeless. I'm going to beat you. You're beaten. All these things. But David hears the same words, but he doesn't have the same reaction. The army heard Goliath and retreated in fear. David heard Goliath and he responded in faith. This is what he says in verse 36. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? I mean, he's pretty personal right there. He just goes straight for it. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David wasn't reacting to the voice of Goliath. He was responding to the voice of God. How? How could he do that? Because God's voice was amplified on the inside of him. David had history with God. He'd been trained in obscurity. He'd been trained while he was out with the sheep. He was out there, yes, singing his songs, writing his songs to God, listening to God, hearing the whisper of his voice. He was there protecting the sheep. He was learning and training. He was worshiping when no one was watching. He was singing and praising God when no one was looking. Because it didn't matter to him. He had a relationship with God, and he was just working on that relationship. And that's why the battlefield didn't shake him. He was in another place. He had God amplified on the inside of him. The secret of David's public victory was his private worship. You know, when we do things great on the outside and people see and you think, oh, that's amazing. Most of the time, it's because you've put in the hard work beforehand. When we see Olympians, they jump, 2 meters over a beam or thing, high, whatever, is it called a beam? Or that, they don't knock it off. They jump over and 2 meters, that's incredible. But that just didn't happen that day. They spent day after day after day after day jumping 1 meter, 1.5, up. It doesn't happen. David worked on it while he was with the sheep. He was growing in his relationship with God. He was amplifying the voice of God. So now David decides, uncircumcised Philistine, I am going to come out there and fight you. Now, before he could even go, though, David had to silence 3 voices. I'm going to speak about these 3 voices. Each of them represents something that many of us have either battled or are battling or will battle in the future. Okay, the first one is the voice of Eliab. It's the voice of discouragement and criticism. So Eliab, if we go to verse 28, when Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here? And with whom do you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. This is his brother. This is his older brother. He should have been the one encouraging David, but instead he accuses him. Sometimes people who are the closest to us can be the loudest critics. I mean, I know this in my own experience. Have you ever heard, you know, who do you think you are? I've heard that. This is my favorite because I've heard this a lot. You're getting too big for your boots. It is. It's like slow down. You're getting too big for your boots. Who do you think you are? We need to cancel that voice that questions our calling. David was called to fight Goliath. So David, he could have argued with Eliab, but instead he walked away. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do and say is nothing. Just keep walking in obedience. So when things happen that from people close to you, you don't have to react. Walk away. Okay, so that's voice number one we need to cancel. Voice number two is the voice of Saul. It's the voice of doubt and limitation. David said he could go and fight Goliath. Now, this is what Saul says in verse 33. Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against the Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man. And he has been a warrior from his youth." So even the king didn't believe in him. He's saying to him, "You're only a young man." He's putting him down and he's lifting up the enemy. He's been a warrior. That's like a double put down, really. He's been a warrior from his youth. You've got nothing. You're too young. Have you ever had someone with influence, power, or position? It could be a teacher, it could be a coach, it could be someone you really respected, say these things like, "You're not ready. You don't have what it takes. Stay in your lane." I've written these because I've heard all of these things myself. But it's just an example of things that can happen that bring doubt. All of a sudden I'm thinking, "Oh, can I? I don't know. I don't think I can." Doubt and limitation. We need to cancel the voice that limits your potential. Saul told David, "You can't do this. You're just a young man." But David didn't argue. He didn't try and prove himself. This is what he says in verse 36 to 37. "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine," more of that, "will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine." He didn't need approval. Saul saw inexperience, but David remembered his encounters. When he was looking after those sheep, he killed a bear, protecting the sheep. When he was looking after those sheep, he killed a lion, protecting those sheep. He had history with God. It was already done. He'd been there. He'd had encounters with God. When others see our limits, God, he remembers our battles. We have all been through things that have got us to where we are now. We have all had to fight to get to, and sometimes we can be in the middle of things, but eventually we come through. God sees your battle. When people try and limit you, God already knows what you've been through. He does. So we need to cancel the voice that limits your potential by remembering that God never lets you down. Never. So that's voice two, the voice of doubt and limitation. Voice three was the voice of Goliath, the voice of intimidation. He hears that David's going to fight him, and this is what Goliath says in verse 43. "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" I mean, he thinks, who are you? Goliath is mocking David. He belittled him because intimidation always attacks identity. It does. It attacks your identity. He was attacking him like, who are you to come against me? Who are you with your sticks? No. Intimidation attacks identity. This is the voice that says, you're too young. You're too old. You're not smart enough. You're not good enough. That voice, it's attacking you and your identity. So we need to cancel the voice that magnifies your enemy more than your God. David didn't respond to the insult. He responded with identity. Oh, in verse 45, he says, David says to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." He knew who he was in God. When you know who you are, you don't need to be worried about being intimidated by anyone. Know who you are in God. Intimidation might attack your identity, but you speak back with faith of who you are. So before you can even fight sometimes, you've got to get rid of the voices around you. And this is what he had to do. But then, I mean, if you've heard the story, you know that Saul tried to put his armor on him, but he just couldn't wear it. It felt uncomfortable. It wasn't made for him. It was made for Saul. You know, certain things you're anointed for. The armor given to Saul was anointed for him. You can't wear someone else's anointing. You don't need to. But he had a slingshot and five stones. Like, come on. Yeah. While I was out there with the sheep, that's David. So he goes, run. He just doesn't like, oh, you know, I'm going to like take my time there. No, he just doesn't run to Goliath with that slingshot. He ran with that declaration that he said, hey, I come to you. This is who I am. I come to you in the name of the Lord Almighty. So he ran and the battle was won. He it was won way before the stone flew, because he knew who he was and he didn't listen to his voice. And with one stone, he struck Goliath right in the forehead, right in his ugly forehead. I reckon he's ugly. And the giant fell face down. It says that. Then David took Goliath's own sword and cut his head off. Amazing story. Honestly, you got to read it. It's great. But this is what happened. He wasn't afraid of him. One stone. Boom. Gone. The weapon the enemy tried to use against him became the weapon of victory for him. He cut his head off with it. So there's a couple of things that I just want to talk about that amplify God's voice. The first one is speak the word of God. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we don't just read the Bible, declare it. You know, when we speak out loud, your spirit listens to it. I always think of this. There's a lady in our church, and she had insomnia for 60 years. Slept 2 hours a night. She began speaking Psalm 4, verse 8, which says, "In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety." One scripture. She read that out for 30 days. Then she sent a message in 6 months later. "I am sleeping 6 hours a night for the past 6 months after 60 years of insomnia." 60 years of insomnia gone in 30 days by declaring one scripture. One scripture. That's the power of the word of God. What scripture is it you're speaking over yourself? What are you speaking over yourself? One scripture can change your life, changed her life. The word of God has changed my life. One of the biggest things I had to overcome was rejection. I had to overcome many things, fear, even fear of being a new person in church. I felt intimidated being here. I felt not good enough. These were the voices, you know how I talk about voices in my own head, but they were. I'd come in and I'd think, oh, all these people are amazing and I don't fit in here. I don't belong here. I'm not good enough to be here. Honestly, that's the enemy. If you're new here today and you're hearing those voices, you belong. You belong because God loves you. He loves us all. You're part of God's family. So, yeah, but rejection was one of those things for me that took a long, long time. But I had to work at it. I had to work and work. And when I say I had to work at it, I got scriptures and different scriptures. And what I did, I put them all together. And I had anger issues as well. So I got some scriptures and I took parts of those scriptures out as well. I know, it's hard to say. No, I was a very angry little control freak when I met Jesus. And people would speak to me. But I started to say this declaration to myself. And I learnt it off by heart. So I got parts of scripture, but I also made word spoken to my identity. You know, and when I would get annoyed or upset, I would go, I speak into my mind peace. And seriously, I would go, I speak into my mind peace. And it would start to happen. God, he stopped the storm. He spoke peace into a storm. I speak into my mind peace. There would be storms going on there, but I speak into my mind peace, and there'd be peace. I speak into my heart courage. Oh, I needed courage. I needed to not fear being around where I felt like I didn't fit, where I felt like I didn't respond. I needed to get that. I needed that to happen. Then I speak into my heart courage. I speak into my feet. Oh, that there are paths that I can walk on so that I can overcome every obstacle. That one I spoke over and over again because I always thought, rejection was an obstacle for me. I speak into my feet and I would see myself, I would picture myself walking down a path and kicking out the way the obstacles that I can overcome every obstacle. I am the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. That just that on the inside, even saying it now, I feel the Spirit of God rising me up. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. God's called us to be. God's called you to be the head and not the tail. Don't cower. He loves you. He loves you. So that's the first thing. Speak the word of God. The second one is fast and pray. We've got a 10-day fast coming up. When we fast, it realigns us. It turns down the world's noise so that we can hear God more clearly. It intensifies prayer. I always think of fasting as the bomb of prayer. You know, things that have been stubborn, that you're praying and praying, it just blows them up. It makes a way. It breaks through obstacles. And fasting releases breakthrough. It clears clutter. It unlocks the supernatural, and it draws us deeper into God's presence. So our fast starts Monday week. So not tomorrow, but in a week. So it gives you a week to eat whatever you want. This QR code actually leads you to a resource that gives you all the prayer dates. There's our prayer dates there. But it gives you the prayer dates. But it also helps you if you're thinking, what can I fast? It gives you different types of fasts. It also has resources on why you should fast. And also what we're praying for our church. And one of the things we are praying for is our own personal breakthroughs. I've had so many breakthroughs from fasting. I mean, I don't love it, but I do love what it does. And it's not like we're trying to twist God's arm. We don't say, I'm going to fast and God's going to do that. It doesn't do that. Fasting actually changes you. Changes me. It leans me in. It makes me hear better. It makes me make wiser decisions. Fasting changes you, brings life, brings breakthrough. I fasted water for a week, and man, that was not good. But I prayed for my, I fasted water. I ate everything else. I just fasted the water. No, I only had water. Good pickup. I only had water for a week praying for my mother's salvation. My mother was not interested in God at all. In fact, she was even anti about talking about it. And I knew she was coming on the Thursday, but I was praying that she'd come to church and that she'd get saved. Fasted on the Monday, she arrived on the Thursday, she came on the Sunday, and she got saved. That's the power of fasting. Woo! So good! Love it! Yeah, I fasted for my finances, and God gave me an actual strategy, I guess, which I didn't even know was a thing. It actually is a thing. But anyway, gave me a strategy which led me to pay my house off. So, I did a 40-day fast for my family for salvation and restoration. And at the end of that 40-day fast, it was planned. I had 22 of my family attend church all on the same day. But this is what can happen on a fast. I encourage you, get on board. God loves you and it's worth it. So amplify God's voice. Speak God's word, fast and pray. We are going to pray. We're going to pray for some of the things I spoke about. If you've had those voices of shame, voices of guilt, voices of intimidation, oh, I just know God is here to cancel that noise. But before I do that, I did say I'd give an opportunity for those. If you don't have a relationship with God, right now, I just want to